Okay, welcome to the WAN show, ladies and gentlemen. We have an absolutely spectacular show for you today, assuming that it is actually live and working properly, which I have no idea. And we've got some great topics. Like, first and foremost, it is official. I have checked the creator dashboard. I am in the top 1% of OnlyFans creators on the platform after just 1 day. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. After just 1 day, I am an OnlyFans 1%er. In other big important news, Lewis Rossman is taking Right to Repair to direct ballot via GoFundMe. This will be,
gentlemen,
after just 1 day, I am an OnlyFans.
What is happening right now?
Stop that. This is going to be a spectacularly interesting campaign, especially in light of some recent conversations that I had with Lewis. I was a little surprised to see this, but I am extremely excited. Luke, what else we got today?
Xbox Game Pass is getting PlayStation exclusives. Whoa, right?
I mean, that's pretty whoa.
Pretty wild.
My love is like whoa. And that is like whoa, you know?
Yeah. Also, breaking news. AMD Zen 3 CPUs vulnerable to Spectre-like attacks via PSF feature. Big sad. Predictive store forwarding.
Whoops. Let's go ahead and roll that intro, shall we? I don't know who the sponsors are, so I'm just going to do this. Ha ha! And then I'm going to open up april2nd.rar and tell you that they are Honey, Ridge Wallet, and Vessi Footwear. And I'm gonna have those assets sitting right here ready to go for when I got to tell you about our sponsors. First, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about OnlyFans. Now, it is normally our policy to not acknowledge the April Fool'sness of our April Fool's jokes. But unlike some of our previous April Fool's jokes, this one seems to have caused a significant amount of legitimate confusion in the community and even among our staff. So I feel like it would be not a terrible idea for us to go ahead and sort of talk through exactly how this came to be. The original intention was actually to upload a tour of our office, because I know it's been under construction for over the last year, and we've posted about it in YouTube stories. We've posted a lot about it in behind the scenes Floatplane exclusives and stuff like that. And we've had a ton of requests to do an office tour. And the idea was we were thinking of doing like a totally fake one, like renting another office for a day and like doing a tour of it with everyone like in there, and it's a completely different office and everyone's like, what is going on? Where are the sets? Like, we thought that would be kind of a fun thing to do, but we couldn't get it together in time. And one of our backup ideas was, you know, LOL, we should do this. Like, we should pretend we have an OnlyFans, and haha, wouldn't it be funny if we talked about, like, you know, foot fetish, but it was computer feet, like kind of like a fun tech spin on, you know, a lot of really popular genres on OnlyFans and among adult performers and the audiences that enjoy that type of content. So we came up with this idea. Okay, we're gonna do like tech OnlyFans. And obviously, as part of it, you know, we wanted the video to have a certain kind of OnlyFans announcement vibe. So we went and we looked at a couple prominent creators' OnlyFans announcement videos and got kind of a sense for what the community might expect from that sort of video. And we realized, like, there's no way that we could do this video and have all of the naughtiness, you know, be completely focused on tech. I mean, like, Luke, if I did an OnlyFans announcement video and I was fully clothed, would that feel appropriate?
No, not quite. I don't think I've laughed that hard at a video in a while. That was amazing. I just wanted to throw my hat in there real quick. It was stunning and hilarious. But yeah, I think the couch thing sold it. Like,
that was Andy's idea.
It would have still been funny mm-hmm. without the couch thing, but the couch thing like really drove it home, I think.
Yo, it drove yeah. it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It really stiffened the competition.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where the idea came from. But the thing is that you guys might not realize this, but Linus Media Group, Floatplane, and Creator Warehouse now have a total of over 50 employees. And so that includes me and Yvonne. So we're like just over 50. And what that means is that a project can go from conception to completion with, you know, 3/4 of those people or even more not having heard about it at all, having no idea what's coming. And so it's, so what happened was the video launched and I, you know, immediately got questions from people like, hey, is this real? Because part of our spin on April Fool's this year was, you know, in the past, what we've done is we've tried to make it as straight-faced as possible. So this is the first time you will see me publicly acknowledge that the concrete-cooled PC was not, in fact, real. We have people who, Luke, I kid you not, the comment section of that video is full of two kinds of people.
Truthers. Okay?
People that are, like, okay, people that think it is way too stupid to be believable at all, and therefore a bad April Fool's joke, and people who think it is real.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You can tell. You can tell the people who are like, this is so obviously fake that it's not even funny. And the people that are like, this is real. But, you know, I hate this video for some other reason. Or, like, they have some critique of the video that is anything other than this is completely not real at all, and it's ridiculous. So I think we posted this as a Floatplane exclusive, how we made it look like it was concrete in the loop while the computer was working. Because in the video, we show, like, look, guys, there's no fake wires. This is actually running. And what we did was it was a combination of, like flakes of, oh man, something like chalk or some kind of like marker or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. Milk. So the coolant was actually milk. And then we put paint in it. We put paint in the milk. And what we did was we put the milk in the fridge before we did the shot so that the performance, the legitimate performance out of Hardware Info or whatever IDA or whatever application we used was legitimately excellent. So the whole thing was real. And that's the other funny thing is there's a lot of people who think they look figured it out and actually had no idea how we did it. Like just no clue whatsoever. But we're like supered into patting themselves on the back about like how sure they were about, you know, how we faked it or whatever. So that's how we faked it. And then one of the really clever things that we did was we shot the thing completely out of order. So that's why we were able to go back to it later. And the loop is literally full of solid concrete, you know, obviously, because we shot the part with the milk before we shot. So we then cleaned the tubes. We cleaned all the milk out, cleaned the tubes so they were perfect. Then we shot filling them with concrete. But then in the edit, that went before. And then we left it for a day and came back and it was obviously solid because it was full of concrete, duh. man, the amount of debate in the comments section over like whether a D5 pump is actually able to move the coolant that fast. What are you talking about? That's not... You know, you can't have the right answer to the wrong question. You know what I mean? So anyway, the point is, what we wanted to do to make it kind of in our traditional style, completely straight-faced, right? Like not acknowledging it at all, was we wanted to take it one step more meta and make an April Fool's joke that effectively wasn't a joke at all. Because there is a real OnlyFans account with real actual content on it if you check the link in the video description.
I didn't see a link in the description.
Okay. It didn't go up for the first hour or so because the person who posted the video forgot, even though that was like kind of the whole joke. It's in there now.
Oh, I even tweeted about it because I didn't. And then when people started tweeting me the link, I thought it was like some bogus fan-made thing. I never actually realized until you posted the tweet about the profits, which I'm assuming we'll get into, that it was actually real. Like, I thought that would, I thought someone just set that up as a joke.
No, not at all. So the OnlyFans account is real. We actually didn't get it verified until March 31st. Their verification process is arduous. Like I had
better than Twitter's.
I had to send so much information and stuff. Like it was kind of crazy. I don't even know who these people are, but they know everything about me, these OnlyFans people. Anyway, the point is that was sort of like the next level, April Fools, is that it's a joke. Oh wait, holy crap, it's not even a joke. But that's the joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
very meta.
So anyway, yeah, so the idea was that it was real, but also that it was not real. So in my mind, it was always a joke that it's real, but it was never going to be real. And then midway through the day, someone walks into my office. It was either James or A-Prime, because he was the one who edited it and uploaded all the content on OnlyFans. So they both have access to the account. And they were like, hey, so you know we've made like $6,000 already, right? And I was like, shut the front door. Are you kidding me right now? Because that was not the intent at all. Like, I didn't expect anyone to actually subscribe to it. If you subscribe to it, spoiler alert, guys, like, you're not supposed to. Spoiler alert, you get an automatic image that gets sent to you that just says, why? like we were ready for it, you know? We were ready for it. We knew a couple people would, but we thought, you know, two or three people would do that. They would post it on Twitter.
And then post the why online, and then no one else would do it.
Post it on the forum or whatever, and then people would be like, oh, ha, 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 why? Yeah, indeed. Good question. Why? Because, you know, everything in that video with, I'd say, a couple of exceptions. I mean, Anthony ASMR Build Guide, okay, all right. I can see how there'd be an audience for that. But most of the stuff in the video is pretty clearly a parody of, you know, otherwise popular actual content from that platform. So anyway, all of a sudden I'm sitting here going, well, I was very clear about what this was and what the objective is, but now I'm not really sure because all of a sudden people are starting to request things. They're like, hey, can I have a picture of Linus's feet? I'll pay $25 or $50 or whatever. And, you know, James is kind of sitting there managing it throughout the day. And he's like, I don't care. So he like goes up to me. I'm on set, like takes a picture of my feet, sends it to this person. And like, that's how this platform works. I had no familiarity with it. I've never used it before. So it sort of blows my mind, but it's like a just throwing money back and forth platform. So
it's back and forth.
Well, I mean, if you subscribe to people as well as being a creator, then you could throw it back and forth. But yeah, it's basically just it's basically like a DM platform. It's actually very unsophisticated in certain ways. But essentially, once someone subscribes to you, which already has a monthly fee, then they can message you. And pretty much, like, I can tell you guys, even though we only have a couple thousand people on it, the volume of messages that come through, if you don't put a tip on your message, I pretty much guarantee you that nobody will see it. Like, it's not happening. Unless you're engaging...
So the $25 feet pick thing,
yeah,
is that like a bounty? So if you reply with a picture attached, the value goes through, or did he tip $25 and he's asking for a feet?
No, pick? You're just okay. I'll get to that. So subscribing, which has a monthly fee, is just for the privilege of being able to send a message. And honestly, I can see why people are way more engaged in a lot of cases with much smaller creators on the platform. It's actually been really educational for me looking at how it works by becoming involved in it in this way, even if it was completely accidentally. Because a smaller creator, you're not going to have to tip $100 just to have like a 1 in 1,000 chance that they might look at it. Like there actually is a degree of personal interaction that can go on there.
But not with the OnlyFans 1%ers like you.
Yeah, no, my inbox, man, it's just
too highbrow.
It's overflowing. Yeah. It's overflowing. So the way it works is you can send a message, and if you tip in your message, then you basically have some hope of it being looked at. And then the way that it works is you can request things. So you can say, hey, I want a picture of your nose. Ideally, I'll be able to see like up your nostril or something like that. And that sounds very hypothetical. That message 100% arrived yesterday. James came into my office, took that picture, and I was like, excuse me, and then left. And that was apparently sent to the person. So I have no idea what they're doing with that image, but I'm sure that it's unsavory. So at that point, you can say, okay, I want this. And then you message them back. And I think James was mostly memeing. Like people would ask for the most basic small things, and he'd be like, yeah, that'll be $69.42. You know, like just because we thought everyone was joking, you know, we thought we were joking and we thought everyone was joking. But then all of a sudden it was our biggest source of revenue yesterday. By the end of the day, we had reached. So I don't remember exactly what it was last night, but today we're sitting at like $15,367. Obviously, it's cooled off a fair bit now that the video's been up for a while, and we don't have someone dedicated to like sitting there replying to people.
Do you have a breakdown, and are you willing to share the breakdown?
Yeah.
So like subscriptions versus messages versus, I guess the fulfilled request thing is just
maybe. Let me see if I can figure that out. I haven't spent a ton of time in the dashboard, and they don't even have an app, which I think you and I probably both have a pretty good idea of why. Because if they were giving away 30% of their revenue, how could they give a reasonable amount to creators? So the split is 80-20 between the creator and OnlyFans, the platform. So it's all done through just the mobile browser. But the experience is frankly not great. Anyway, the point is you actually can negotiate. So you go back and forth on like what the rate's going to be and what you're going to send. And they send the money basically up front, hoping that you will come through. And I guess you can probably, I don't know, maybe you can like rate creators. I guess having a good reputation is probably good in like some way on whatever communities sort of keep track of this stuff. And you got your picture or your little video or your shout out. Some people just asked for shout out. Someone asked me to call them a naughty gamer. And I was like, okay, sure. And then it can also go the other way. So as a creator, you can create some photo set, like, you know, here's me with CPUs taped to my nipples, but it's blurred.
Gold and, controller censored photo set.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's $25 to unlock, and here it is. And you just kind of blast that out to all of your followers, and some of them will unlock it. And apparently that's a way to just make monstrous, like utterly monstrous amounts of money.
That would be paid followers too, right? That's paying subscribers, correct? So you're advertising to paying subscribers.
That's right.
Interesting.
You have to pay in order to be advertised to, which is just like, it's just utterly, utterly mind-blowing to me. Like, I'm coming from the YouTube space where it's like you're fighting with your audience tooth and nail over whether you should be allowed to monetize. And honestly, our community is pretty good. I'm talking about the YouTube audience as a whole. You guys have largely been incredibly supportive of everything that we've needed to do in order to grow our company, grow our team, pay our employees a fair wage so that they can, you know, have cool tech for their own lives, you know, not just have to stare at it at work. And
Jane just brought up a good point. Paid to be advertised to, similar to TV.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, subscription and there's ads.
OnlyFans, it's the new cable. But probably more successful by the time another few years has ticked by. So I'm looking at my statements and I don't actually see a way to break that down. I just see like my primary balance, payout requests, earning statistics. Okay, here we go. So subscriptions is 14,677. Tips is 758. And then we've got $20 from messages. And the gross revenue is $19,319, and the net is $15,455. So That puts us, apparently, according to the dashboard, in the top 0.93% of creators on OnlyFans, which is really cool. And it was really fun and educational for me to sort of go in and make this video and sort of learn about this platform and this whole community that I just honestly had no idea existed. But the truth of the matter is, guys, this is not going to be a significant play for us going forward. I think that we'll leave it up for a little bit longer. I think maybe we'll shut it down on Monday or something like that. So if you were hoping to get yourself some of the gamer cooling loop water, which, by the way, is unironically a thing that you actually can get if you are one of, I think we have like 16 left of them or something stupid like that. So it's a little collectible thing.
You know how you said you can release sets?
Yes.
Like picture sets? Yep. Can you release videos on there?
I believe you can do video. Yeah, because I recorded videos and sent them to people. Actually, Madison did it for me. So she recorded the video for me and then sent it because I'm a big deal. You know.
See, you guys should do just a little experiment and do one actual Anthony ASMR build.
So, okay. The thing is, Anthony is a very, very busy gentleman. True. And he has, today he was shooting a normal build that didn't actually get done for this week and we're kind of behind and stuff. So it's like tough, you know? It's a cool idea. I don't know what to do with it. Like, it's the kind of thing where the way that our non-compete works is we don't allow people to do certain things on their own personal channels and handles, because the idea is that you're not supposed to be just using Linus Media Group as a means to promote your own personal like tech channel or whatever. But I think if Anthony were to come to me and say, "Hey, Linus, I'm really passionate about this idea. I'd actually love to do, an ASMR, guide of some sort." I think that's the kind of thing that we have in the past. I mean, Taryn has done, for example, a keyboard review on his personal channel before. And I basically went like, "Look, Taryn, there's no way that the LTT channel is ever going to do a review of that keyboard. So, go ahead, do your thing. I just ask that people kind of work with me on it and don't expect that the answer is going to be yes when it's content that directly conflicts with the type of content that we all create at work using work equipment and work time and all those things. Like, it's always complicated. Like, in my perfect world, we'd all just be like, bros and sisses, and it would all be like sweet and everything would be chill and we'd have no rules. But I think, as we've seen over the years, Luke, we went from, our basically only rule being you actually do need to wear pants to work to,
that was tough.
Now we've got all these complicated procedures for like how you request vacation time and blah, 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 blah. It's got like 50 plus people you can't have.
I was going to say, it just happens because you have to streamline things once you get to a certain amount of people. Like, you can't keep playing fast and loose, because then things just get messy and hard to control.
So Anthony actually is apparently watching WAN Show right now. He messaged me and said, "If we're killing the OnlyFans, can we at least leave it up for the whole month? There have been examples of people coming in, doing a meme thing, then pulling out, and OnlyFans clamping down on what their own creators are able to do. This would cause a lot of trouble for vulnerable people." So I'll have to talk to Anthony about that on, I guess it's, we have Monday off. So I'll have to talk to him about that on Tuesday, but I have a very, very difficult time imagining how our sort of meme channel could have that kind of an impact.
I think I might get it.
Sure. Okay. Hit me.
I suspect because the monthly subscription, mm-hmm. the agreement is not being fulfilled. They're subscribing for mm-hmm. a month, and if you only give it to them for a few days, that's like potentially problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's it. I don't know.
So what does that have to do with what OnlyFans allows other creators to do?
Well, if that's something that OnlyFans is trying to... Yep. Nope. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if that's something that OnlyFans is clamping down on, but then other creators just shouldn't do it either. So I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe there's like some payout restrictions or something that they're putting in place, and that's hurting people, and they're trying to have people not do things like that. I'm not sure. Anyways, I don't know enough about it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to kind of figure out. We'll have to kind of figure out what that'll look like. Guys, with that said, bear in mind, this is very, very unlikely to be a long-term thing because we have our own, like, exclusive platform. It's called Floatplane. If we wanted to do exclusive videos or photo sets or whatever it ended up being, it would be on Floatplane, not on OnlyFans.
On Floatplane, we have a picture uploading option.
Well, what we don't have on Floatplane is the ability to tip Luke. So
true.
We also don't have DMs on Floatplane.
True.
I know. I've also had the Floatplane team extremely busy with Verified Actual Gaming program. So, you know what? Okay, I get it. Why we don't have this stuff. So, all right, we'll have to talk to people internally, but please don't subscribe on OnlyFans, guys, because the long-term plan is not for us to become, like, you know, a not-safe-for-work creator or whatever the case may be. We've had some people even reach out and say that they felt like it was insensitive for us to create a video like that, and that's something that I'm not 100% sure how to respond to. I mean, for me, the butt of the joke, the April Fool, was really supposed to be me. Like, in my mind, you probably shouldn't be subscribing to an OnlyFans of me. And, you know, guys, don't feel the need to kind of, you know, boost up my ego or whatever. Be like, no, Linus, you're beautiful. It really isn't the point. If I was going to follow someone on OnlyFans, it sure as heck wouldn't be me. So this is just a market that I clearly don't understand whatsoever. So my intent was that the butt of the joke is me. And then the other butt of the joke, I guess, is anyone who legitimately is that into computer hardware that they need to see it, you know, dripping in massage oil or whatever the case may be. That's the joke.
Jokes aren't generally supposed to be belittling the thing that they're creating. It's supposed to be something very uncharacteristic of the group. That's generally it. I got a message saying that it's apparently due to excessive chargebacks that happen when people leave early, and then excessive chargebacks being a thing on the platform at all have often led to increased limitations of how creators can accept money, how much they can accept at a time, stuff like that, even if they're not leaving the platform early.
Okay. And then the other thing that we've received critique for is, so we've received critique for stigmatizing sex work because we made an April Fool's video about it. But then we've received about an equal amount of criticism saying that we are normalizing sex work by making this video and drawing attention to this platform and this community. So as far as I can tell, I have equally off both sides of this, so nice. Maybe we can call it a net neutral.
Do they cancel each other out?
that's the hope. That's the best that I can hope for at this point. Nice. But you know, it's one of those things where we decided to take a risk. We did something that we thought was, you know, kind of edgy and funny. And when you do something kind of edgy, you know what? You're probably going to make a couple of mistakes, but I honestly watched the video myself. I hadn't seen any of the content that they made. So all I was there for was shooting the A-roll, you know, with the big pink toy and all that kind of stuff.
The grunt when, ooh, yeah. That was pretty good. I was up really early when I watched that, and I think I woke some people up.
Oh, that's great. So yeah, you know, that's the only part I was there for. So when I saw some of the other stuff, like James wearing that freaking gun vest or whatever it was he was doing.
I don't even know what that was. Yeah, I couldn't really tell.
Man. So I mean, okay. Bird J says, not gonna lie, I subscribed because I wanted to see more of James shirtless. But the thing is, guys, you gotta understand, OnlyFans is, from my limited experience with it, is intended to be a platform for individuals. If you wanted James on OnlyFans, you're gonna need to tell him that. And he's going to have to create an OnlyFans, and you're gonna have to go subscribe to that. It's not intended for a group. Like, when you send a tip to the Linus Tech Tips one, you're effectively sending it, you're splitting it 50 ways. Like, we put all that money in a big bucket, and then we divvy it up according to the, like, you know, boring corporate, like, budgeting meetings and stuff that we do, because Linus Media Group Incorporated is an incorporated company. We're a corporation. So we're definitely going to find stuff to do with that money. But, you know, guys, the point of it is not that you are able to subscribe to, like, an individual person. We've actually opened up the option for Linus Media Group employees to start their own flow planes, for example, though. So that's the kind of thing that I could see being a constructive way to contribute, and a constructive way for individuals like, you know, an Anthony or Riley or James or, you know, whoever else to engage with the community through Floatplane. I don't know, what is our policy on not safe for work content, Luke?
If there's like private parts, it has to be artistic.
Right. That's right.
An ASMR build guide would be more than okay. That wouldn't even remotely be a problem.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Got it. The main way that people get around that, which I am of the strong opinion, is why there was a massive increase in this type of content since Patreon became a thing, is cosplay.
Right. Yeah.
Because cosplay is very easy to point at and be like, nope, art.
Yep. I made this costume and I didn't make much of it, but that's okay.
It's hard to argue against. So I think that's where a lot of cosplay people came from, and body paint people and other things like that, is that it fits under that art umbrella. And the reason why the art thing is there, just in case anyone's interested, is a lot of mainline payment processors have that as a requirement. Yep. So if you want to work with that, it's not really the platform that's necessarily deciding this thing. It's the payment processors. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Cyrix says, seems like working for you seems very restricted social media wise. Well, believe it or not, you know, in the same way that working for, you know, a bread manufacturer would be pretty restrictive in terms of, like, if you were to manufacture and sell bread on the side, I'm sorry, but that is just the way that employment contracts work. Like, you can't be bringing people in and, like, if you know, hire a kitchen team and basically you find out that all of them are moonlighting as their own restaurant using the recipes that you've developed with them, it's like bad manners at the very best. So, I'm sorry. That's just, like, kind of the way that it works when you go into a workplace that has a lot of proprietary knowledge that gives you a significant advantage in a particular industry. Like, it's one of the reasons.
Not proprietary knowledge either. It gives you an audience.
It gives you both in the case of Linus Media Group. So it's one of those things where I believe we actually have a fairly open approach to it. We put people's social media handles in our video credits, for example. We don't try to hide even our behind the scenes people who, you know, could be at risk of being poached by other social media outfits. I mean, Linus Media Group people know what they're doing. They are very, very good at the game that we all play. And so I like to think that we actually allow a lot of exposure for our people. We just have to also make sure that it's within reason. So I think allowing people to have their own personal support things where they can create other content through Floatplane is a pretty good compromise. A lot of places wouldn't allow anything like that at all. So, you know, sorry, but it's like, what am I supposed to say? I remember having a conversation with someone recently where I was like, hey, look, I'm sorry that I'm having to talk to you about this, but you got to understand, you know, X, Y, and Z. And they're like, no, totally. I get it. Like, you made me. And I'm like, well, no, because you are awesome. And that's why people like you. And that's why they want to engage with you. But, you know, also, you know, we've thrown some fuel on that fire, I like to think. And so between the exposure and the proprietary knowledge, I do think that we give people a very significant leg up in terms of building their own social audience. And we just have to watch out for our own interests, not just for me personally, but for everyone. Like, it would be a huge problem for the people who really do want to make Linus Tech Tips and Linus Media Group successful if people were just coming in, using us as a stepping stone, and then booting out as soon as we have invested a ton of resources into training them up. I mean, you look at, for example, the exodus from Tesla to Rivian, and how Tesla is now successfully suing Rivian for hiring, what was it, something like 170, 180 of their former employees?
I thought it might have even been more than that. One sec.
And it's one of those things that, like, you can't prove necessarily that those employees stole trade secrets in a lot of cases, but there is no doubt whatsoever that a very conscious effort was made to poach a significant number of employees from a particular company for some reason. And, oh, could that reason be that they're trying to build a competing product and it would be a lot easier to just hire people that already did it for their primary competitor? Oh, probably. So it's a very complicated thing, and it's something that we are trying over time to be more and more lax about. I mean, hey, Luke, do you remember the conversations we had back when you first wanted to start Twitch streaming?
Yeah.
That's all you got to say, hey?
And like, not even that I do anymore, but I've also gained a little bit more perspective now. And the fact that I've been allowed to Twitch stream as much as I want, I think kind of surprising. Yeah, I don't know. And the fact that Linus Media Group employees have YouTube and Twitch channels that they like work on actively on the side, with what you were saying earlier, where like, if you were considering a bakery, if you were allowed to have like a pop-up shop, what are they called? Meal carts?
Yeah. No. Food truck.
Food truck. If you're allowed to like food truck on the weekend and you worked at a bakery and your food truck sold baked goods, that would probably be pretty weird. I don't know. It's basically, I think it's cool, but it shouldn't be taken quite so lightly.
And you got to understand, guys, too, that there's other factors at play. Like, for example, up until very recently, every single person working on Linus Tech Tips videos, so camera operators, editors, and writers, had access to the main Linus Tech Tips handle. So that opens itself up, if we allow people to have their own channels, to all kinds of abuse. And we've had to have some very difficult conversations with people where we're like, hey, did this really make sense on main? Or is this pretty much down to personal promotion? We've got to have a very, very, you know, fine line that we walk here, where we're all working towards the same goal when it comes to what we're doing on work time, but without being too restrictive about what people can do on their own time. So Luke battling it out with me on Twitch streaming, where ultimately I made the call. I was like, look, we're never going to get into, you know, Twitch streaming at scale. So forget it. You go do your own thing. I want no part of it. You know, I want to make no investment into your Twitch channel, but I also expect nothing back from it. Do your thing. But like,
Do you remember the original terms?
I don't remember the original terms. Was there, because I remember being a little annoyed at one point because you were so often promoting your Twitch stream directly after WAN show, like on WAN show. And I'm like, Luke, the optics. And then I think we talked about it. And then I think I said, yeah, you know what? I'm okay with it. But I think
So I thought that was the goal, because originally we did after parties. I remember this confusion. Originally we did after parties. Then yes. We stopped doing after parties. And shortly after we stopped doing after parties, you told people to go watch my stream as the after party. So I started calling my streams the after parties and kept promoting them. And then you were like, what the heck, bro? And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But I didn't like line that up. The original terms, though, was that I couldn't monetize my stream until I had been streaming for a year. And I remember just being like, I don't understand.
I don't remember why I said that. Maybe it was to find out if this is right. No, I do remember why. I remember why. It was because your argument to me was that this wasn't about the money. It was just something you were really passionate about and wanted to use to engage with the community. And I was like, okay, prove it. Stream for a year for nothing. And if you actually do that, then I will believe you and go for it. And I don't think you waited the whole year anyway.
I think I did.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Either way, either way. One of the other problems, guys, is that we can't be seen to show favoritism. So if everyone has their own little like side gigs, whether they're Twitch streaming, which we now formally allow, anyone at Linus Media Group can have a Twitch channel and Twitch stream because I've made that decision years ago that we are not a Twitch streaming operation. We are laser focused on YouTube and other social media. Anyone can have a float plane, which conveniently is a platform that, you know, our sister company built. So I see it as not really a conflict of interest. We have spoken with some people about even if they have a large social media following, doing brand deals and using us as their agency. So we would take an agency fee because, again, it's down to, yeah, you're awesome, but we also do like to think that even way more than a normal agency, we have probably increased your reach and probably have something to do with why someone is reaching out to you in the first place. But, oh, shoot, where was I going with that? So we blah, 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 blah. We do all these things. Right, but we can't be seen to... So because everyone's doing these things, we've got to be really careful that we're not showing favoritism because this affects people's livelihoods. Like, if Luke has, you know, 200 followers on Twitch who subscribe to him and pay him $5 a freaking month, that's $500 a month, okay? $500 a month is $6,000 a year, which is the difference between, in many cases, having a car and not having a car. You know what I mean? Like, this is this is very lifestyle-changing money for people. And so let's say I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person, right? Like, I mostly work behind the camera, or I'm an editor, or I work in the warehouse, or whatever else. I'm looking at it going, well, this is totally unfair, because not only is Luke in this position where he has, like, you know, a job that maybe I'd like better, or whatever else, because you never know what people's mindset is. Not only does he have this job that I like better, but on top of him having this better job that my perception is he gets paid more, he also gets this like side gig that for whatever reason, the company is calling out all the time that puts extra money directly in his pocket. I'm so unhappy right now. So you create this drama and this tension. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of companies just don't allow it. This is a really good comment that was posted in the YouTube chat about how WWE basically said, look, no OnlyFans, no Patreons, no Twitch, because technically the wrestlers for WWE Entertainment or whatever the company is called are employees, and therefore they are actually bound to this contract that is an extremely onerous non-compete. And personally, I disagree with WWE's move. I absolutely...
Yeah, that doesn't seem smart to me.
I really looked at the way that a lot of those athletes, and you can call them athletes, you can call them entertainers, they are absolutely both. I looked at the way they were engaging. It seemed so organic and so constructive. Dude,
sorry to cut you off here. If they just made like a Twitch team, you know, I don't remember what it's called. I think they're called teams. But where you have like a team page on a Twitch and it shows all your things, and they integrated WWE branding into it and stuff, and then just let them Twitch stream, and like maybe they make all the revenue or whatever, but there's WWE branding. And
but they should do bonuses based on it, I think, if they are doing it on their own time. Like,
and maybe they have to call out upcoming events and do like some minor advertising that way. That would be huge for them. Massive. And I want to jump back to something you're previously talking about with like the one employee who feels disenfranchised compared to another employee due to various exposures or whatever. I think that's a bit of a hard thing to keep in perspective when you are the employee that has the advantage, and maybe not something that you'd think of.
Yeah.
So I can understand why someone will just get excited and want to do something and then feel upset when they're not allowed. Because I've been there and I've been the douchey one. I think that's a okay word to say. Where I'm like, I just want to do it. I don't understand. But then you have to consider that other angle. And one way to maybe compare it and maybe make it make a little bit more sense is, as far as I know, most restaurants work this way, where like the waiters are tipped, but they like tip jar it and it's shared with back of house.
Yes. So that is a really solid way to handle it, but that also feels really unfair to other people. Yeah. And it gets messy. By the way, point of clarification, sorry. The reason WWE has so much control over their performers is because they're independent contractors. So they can basically just dismiss them for no reason whatsoever. Sorry, I got that detail wrong. I was thinking about it like I was trying to remember why it is that they're basically able to exercise this like iron fist over their employees, and I thought it was down to their employee contract, but actually it's down to their contract as an independent contractor. So someone comes in and says non-compete clauses are not enforceable. So it really depends. They are typically considered to be not enforceable once someone's employment has been terminated, but there are absolutely agreements that you can make that limit what people are and are not allowed to do while they are employed by your company. And you got to remember too that Justin, that kind of attitude is exactly the kind of attitude that makes a person just unemployable, period. Because at the end of the day, unless you're working for some monster mega corporation, an employee agreement, an employee-employer agreement is a relationship. Like Luke and I have had battles over the years. Over. But what we've both learned from them. We've both Some of us have learned a lot.
I've learned a lot. I'm the one who's learned a lot. Okay,
I've learned a lot too. We've both learned a lot. We've developed a lot. I think that we're both better people for treating our relationship as so complicated. What a complicated relationship. At times, Luke and I have been friends, colleagues who really do work like side by side on a more peer-like level, employee, boss, landlord, and tenant. And this is all consecutively. So like, you know, Luke and I'll have a great day working at the office, right? And we like, you know, kick butt and made some great videos. And then I'll go home and I'll be like, oh no, we have to talk about like Luke's lease right now. And so now we're in like landlord tenant mode. And Luke's like talking about how the place feels like a dungeon and it shouldn't have to be so expensive. And because he's on site where the office is, he's basically like 24/7 security. And I'm sitting here going, Luke, you're already paying a fraction of what the market rate is. It's not like I don't have to pay the mortgage on this house. What do you want from me? If you don't feel like you make enough money, then just come out and say it. And if you do feel like you make enough money, then just pay your rent properly.
To be fair, at one point in time, that was described as like almost a part of my compensation package.
So that didn't work. By that time, you had negotiated it down to so little money that it had to be.
Yeah.
By the way, was that the bird's wing down in front of your camera?
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. Okay, I told you before the show, I turned off a bunch of the lights and you can hear him now. I turned off a bunch of the lights and that's usually what I do when I take him to bed. And it's very close to his bedtime now. So all the lights are off, except for these two studio ones. And he's like super confused. And budgies have very, very, very bad low light vision.
Right.
Nice.
So I stuck the landing.
Very successful landing. So he's like super confused and trying to stay like in front of the lights. But he's also pretty new. So we don't fully have that trust level yet. So he's like closer to me than he's ever used to hanging out. And then he landed on top of the camera and was like standing at the front of the lens shroud, just staring. It's been an interesting night of bird time.
So Danny Dog says, I disagree. I'm employable, but I don't believe they're enforceable. Why not just do what you want? Remember, corporations are not your friends. I already said that if it's a mega corporation where there's no personal relationship, you go ahead and do whatever you want. But if what you're trying to do is have an enjoyable, you know, work experience. I can tell you right now that there's kind of two ways to approach me. There's the by the book way, and you can be 100% guaranteed, absolute sure that I'm going to come right back you by the book. And then there's the treating me like a human being. Sorry, what's that, Luke?
I was just trying to say not advised.
Yeah, coming at me by the book, not a good plan. Come at me as a human being and expect to be treated like a human being. Machine who is an expert on Canadian and BC employment law, then expect to get that and absolutely nothing else. So it all depends. And you know what? I'm not going to say that every employer is like me. In fact, I don't think they are. But my experience, both as an employee and as an employer, has been that if you build that personal relationship with people, you all have a way, way better time. So we should.
If you're certain that the person that you're dealing with is like a good person, playing ball is usually a better result for both of you. That's kind of, yeah.
Jonathan says, your argument is literally abuse is now normalized. Deal with it. Lol. No, it's really
No.
not. At all. I mean, if our if our if our if our company was abusing people and normalizing it, I think our retention probably wouldn't be what it is. So I will say that much, and then I think that's pretty much the end of it. Every situation is different. I'm not saying this will work in every situation, but there is a relationship and a human element to pretty much everything. And if you don't understand that, and for whatever reason you're stuck in a dead-end job, you might want to take a long, hard look in the mirror and figure out if maybe the problem isn't entirely someone else. Maybe not entirely. And some people are just jerks. Some people will power trip on you, even though they make like $2.22 an hour more than you, but they just like get to boss you around. They have a bad life and they take it out on you. I'm not saying those people don't exist. I'm just saying that they're not everyone, and it might be worth kind of thinking about an alternative perspective.
That's why I said try to assess the person you're dealing with.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and, oh, we got to get through our sponsors.
Sponsors?
And then I want to
Yeah.
talk about Lewis Rossman's big push on right to repair. So,
Okay.
sponsor number one is, da-da-da-da, not that, Honey. There we go. Oh, I got to go down to the thing. Honey is a free shopping tool that finds the best promo codes wherever you shop online at specific sites like Amazon, eBay, Newegg, Razor, Best Buy, Walmart, and more. It is free to use and installs in just two clicks. I've got Honey in my browser right now. Want to know why? Because it's sweet. Get it? Hey, got him. Those of you who downloaded Honey using our link have already saved over $100,000 in the past few months. Actually, that happens every past few months because that's how much Honey can save you. All you got to do is go to the product page, add something to your cart, click apply coupons when you're at the checkout, and wait for Honey to search for the best working coupons. So why wait? Save money today by going to joinhoney.com/Linus. Wait a minute. Where'd my honey thing go? Why is it that one again? Oh, wow. Did the honey one pop up and then go away? That was super weird. And I guess that's what happens when you open one of these, like from WinRAR. Okay, let's go ahead and put that back. Honey, where is it? Where is it? Stop. Honey General. Oh, wow. This design is from 2017. There you go. So, Honey is one of our sponsors today. Also, sponsoring the show today is Ridge Wallet. Stop carrying pointless items like receipts, old hotel room keys, and spent gift cards. Actually, receipts aren't always pointless. If your employer asked you to hold on to your receipts so that you can get reimbursed, you should probably do that because it's actually not their fault if you don't give a receipt and you cannot get reimbursed because they will not get reimbursed because the government does not care that you lost your receipt. But other than receipts, don't carry that other crap. Ridge Wallet helps you carry less. They use two metal plates that are bound by a strong elastic band to keep your cards tightly together but still accessible. They're RFID blocking and they come with a lifetime guarantee. They're available in aluminum, carbon fiber, and titanium. And Ridge Wallet doesn't sell just wallets. They've got battery banks, bags, smartphone covers, and more. So use offer code WAN to save 10% on everything at ridge.com/WAN. Finally, the show is brought to you today by Vessi Footwear. Why have shoes that just like get wet if you step in water? That seems pretty stupid, doesn't it? when Vessi exists. Vessi Footwear is known for making shoes that are light and comfortable and, of course, water resistant. You can walk in almost any terrain while keeping your feet dry, and they've got tons of different styles and colors to choose from. Whether you're more into men's styles or women's styles, they've got your back, or, well, not your back, but your feet. So use offer code WANCHO to get $25 off each pair at vessi.com/WANCHO. Okay, I'm gonna move myself back here. And let's jump into talking about what Monsieur Louis Rossman is up to. So let's go ahead and we'll post the GoFundMe in the chat right now. Let's see if I can find the chat. Yep, there we go. So basically the idea is that Louis has been fighting what I think at times for him has felt like a frustrating, pointless, losing battle for right to repair. And it is an important battle. And
absolutely,
honestly, like, he has been maybe not the biggest, but certainly one of the most visible opponents of companies just for no, I don't want to say no reason, because there is a reason. I wish I had a soundboard with a ka-ching noise sound effect, you know, because that's what I'd be hitting right now. There's absolutely a reason that they make their devices difficult to repair, or in some cases impossible, or at least impossible for anyone but themselves to repair. But it's not a consumer friendly reason. And for anyone with an ounce of sense, anyone who's in the law, who's a lawmaker, who is looking at this request and thinking, yeah, we should really be protecting the corporation's interests here, it doesn't hold water. Like, it is very obvious that anyone who is against right to repair just plain does not care about their constituents, and just plain does not care about their users, and finally just plain does not care about the environment.
Hi, Louis.
That's one of the most frustrating things about certain companies, some fruit based ones in particular, where they will, you know, talk so much about how green this is, or how recycled this hunk of aluminum is, or whatever else. And then they will go and design, like, the AirPods Pros are a perfect example of a device that did not need to be disposable, but is, because go f*** yourself. That's it.
Why
go
is that?
Go f*** yourself and f*** the environment. That's it.
Why though? Is it because of battery placement, or like what's the limiting factor there?
It's very, very difficult to replace the battery. And because the batteries are so small, so something a lot of people don't understand about lithium batteries is that there are various factors that affect how many charge cycles they can survive. And one of the big ones is actually how big the battery is. The larger the capacity of the battery, the less likely you are to need to charge it all the way up and discharge it all the way down. And the longer that will take, which maybe, okay, won't make it last for more cycles, but it will certainly give it a much longer usable lifetime. So for example, if you have a phone that has a 5,000 milliamp hour battery, which when you get it is good for a day and a half or a day and three quarters, A, you will not wear out that battery so quickly, because every day you will not completely discharge it. And B, you will actually continue to be able to use that device for a full day many, many years into the future, because it had sort of excess battery capacity in the first place. Well, AirPods are really terrible for a number of reasons. Number one is that the battery capacity is extremely low. So that means that you're very likely to completely drain them and completely charge them constantly. Another problem is that because they don't actually last for that long, they last for, well, on the Pros, I think it's like 4 hours with active noise cancellation or something like that. So as soon as you've lost 25% or 30, 40, 50% of your capacity, they're kind of not that usable. Like, when you can't even watch, you know, a movie on the plane, you're not going to keep them, right? They're garbage at that point. And then problem number three is that they're intended to be stored in a charging case that charges them up. One of the most damaging things that you can do to a lithium battery is keep it at either its fully discharged, in either its fully discharged state or its completely charged state. So there's all these problems that are inherent to the design. And then the very worst thing about them is that not only were they not designed with easy battery replacement in mind, it feels like, and seems like they were designed with difficult battery replacement in mind. Now, I actually just became aware of this really cool service that I think launched fairly recently. AirPods Battery Replacement Company. Who are these guys called? Blah, 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 blah. The employee said, bloody hell. Can't find it right now. Darn it. Where are they? Where are they? I thought they were AirPod Autopsy. Oh, man, this is a really long article that I'm pretty sure just leads to a link to this company that that replaces AirPods batteries for you. For so basically what they do is you send in your old ones and they don't send them back. Yeah, they refurbish them for someone else later, and they send you refurbished ones that they have already refurbished that someone else sent. I unfortunately can't find it right now, which is really frustrating. The pod swap. Yep, that's the one. Super cool. I have no idea if these are good people or if they just steal your money or whatever. I'm not endorsing them in any way. I've not actually used their service or anything like that, but I am super excited about what they're doing because for whatever reason, it's like a couple of people that just identified a problem and decided to solve it. And for whatever reason, Apple, the multi-billions and billions and billions of dollar company, couldn't do it. But these guys could. So this is a perfect example of how in spite of Apple's best efforts to make repairing your device not just difficult, but actually impossible, people care about this stuff. And it's really frustrating that it's being locked down and that is being allowed legally. Because, yeah, sure, you might say, yeah, and the free market will regulate itself. But I think what we've learned is that it doesn't, because the powerful players can just either ignore or buy out or otherwise outcompete, sometimes in unfair or illegal ways, without it ever really being enforced, their smaller competition. So no, it does actually need to be dealt with on a legislative level. And what was one of the other really frustrating ones that I went through lately? Right. Oh man, my in-laws Model Y. So Tesla has a really, frankly, crappy attitude towards the right of individuals to repair their vehicles. And one of the problems is that Tesla just doesn't have replacement parts. So when we needed to get a windshield, because a like rock hit the windshield, it happens. So when we needed to get a windshield replacement, we discovered that there were only, I think it was two or three places in the entire lower mainland that did Tesla windshields. And then when it got scratched, I think there were two paint shops that were willing to do Tesla paint because there's just no access to these parts. And so you might think to yourself like, oh, you know, the market will regulate itself if Tesla's competition has an easy and economical way to, you know, get a replacement windshield or to get the paint repaired on your vehicle, then surely they will have to do that in order to compete. But that's not actually the case at all. So having it just written into law that you have to make parts available to consumers is it's just plain necessary. So none of this, I think, even necessarily has a ton to do with the main arguments that Lewis is making about it. You know, he's looking at much bigger picture things.
Hi, Lewis.
Oh, I was told I accidentally clicked that link again. He's looking at much bigger picture things like farm equipment, for example, medical equipment, military equipment. I mean, imagine for a second how corrupt legislators would have to be to not listen to someone and vote against their own budgetary bloat because they are not authorized or cannot get parts to repair their own equipment that they requisitioned for their own stupid military. Imagine that. You don't have to, because all you need to do is watch yourself some C-SPAN. So it's incredibly frustrating. This is a really important campaign. I was talking to him a little while ago and he seemed kind of down about this battle, but hey, maybe this is the next stage. He's trying to raise $6 million. I don't know exactly why that number is. I only became aware of this video shortly before the show, so I haven't actually watched it yet, but I think it has something to do with making it a direct ballot initiative rather than waiting around for politicians to decide that this is a priority, which they won't, because, you know, well, I can't think of a reason. JK, so money.
I haven't fully dove into it, but there is also a long and detailed description on the GoFundMe that, first of all, denotes something actually pretty interesting, that says that you can go ahead and add $100,000 to the total because there was a direct wire transfer from somebody of $100,000. So it bypassed the, I think GoFundMe has a cut, I could be wrong. So it bypasses that, which is pretty cool. And you can throw that on top. So he's already at 324,000, am I right? Yeah, 324,500, which is pretty freaking cool. Also, if you expand the readme a little bit, I'm sure he has better details on this somewhere, but it says, I've reached out to the firm that was able to get a direct ballot initiative passed in MA for automotive right to repair. That they were very helpful and explained how and why it would cost 5 to 20 million to have a chance at success. I think he goes into it more there, but that's, yeah, so he has details.
All right, so guys, do go check that out. I posted links in the video description. Here we go. Lewis is actually in the chat. Sup, Lewis? L. Ekman had a good piece in the New York Times, apparently, on the Marine Corps. Oh, man, that's the kind of stuff that's just like your blatant, obvious corruption that you just kind of, you can't figure out. I don't know. I get it. There's a lot of sort of single issue voters out there, you know, whether it's one way or the other, whether it's like, let's take something super controversial, like gun laws, for example, or abortion rights for another example. I get it, guys. You're single issue voters and you see it as this binary choice. There's this person that you perceive as doing it your way. And there's this person that you perceive as doing it the other way. But that's like the whole reason that within the two-party system, or, you know, in our case, you know, three-party system, that's the whole reason for things like, you know, leadership races or primaries. You're supposed to weed out the people that do not care about you at all. You're supposed to turn these things where they demonstrate so obviously and so clearly that they don't care about you at all. And you're supposed to get them out of office. You're supposed to make it impossible for them to win so that someone who supports ideas that are closer to what you believe can still be elected, but they don't have to be a complete piece of garbage. That's how it's supposed to work. There's
someone in the chat said the right to repair is okay, but not everyone needs to try and repair stuff.
That has nothing to do with right to repair at all.
Yeah, not even remotely.
It's a right.
And that also means that there's a right for you to be able to go to someone to repair your thing, to make it so the thing is repairable at all. It's not necessarily for you to do. I would highly suggest that you, having posted that, check out the GoFundMe, and whether you're going to donate or not, there's a lot of good details in the description under it. So jump over there and check it out.
Oh, man. It's the right. Think of it more like the right for it to be repaired. All right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Grant says parts availability is one thing, but companies should not be forced to share their software. Well, okay, so that's a really, really cool conversation that we can not get into fully right now, but we can at least get into a little bit. Okay, so parts availability is one thing, and it should be absolutely available. But Grant says companies should not be forced to share their software. Okay, so that's a good point. Like, if I'm Apple, you know, I don't necessarily want to share my special software that could allow people to reverse engineer iOS and compete with me, say, for example. But if we're talking about the kind of software that you need, say, for example, to pair a screen or a battery to the motherboard of the phone, I would make the argument that the creation of that software in the first place should have been illegal and that software shouldn't exist. And therefore, it's a non-issue now. You don't have to share it.
If you make it public, you know?
Or you can make it public. Sure.
Privatization of that, the non-openness of that software should be,
It's about, so Lewis said it really well here. Right to repair is about having the right or the freedom to do it. It's not about forcing you to repair your stuff. He says, I wouldn't fix my own microwave since I'd probably give my entire household cancer. Fair point. People should stick to what they know. But at least Lewis would have the option to take his microwave to someone. I mean, if they're in New York, you know, because they got to pay for the rent of their unreasonable building that they operate their business out of, maybe it would cost more than a new microwave anyway. But at least he'd have a choice, right? He'd have the option.
Yeah.
So there's still people super chatting right now, when what you guys should really be doing is you should be over on the GoFundMe and you should be demonstrating that you care about Right to Repair. Because, you know, even if he doesn't get the full 6 million, I'd like to think that if enough people get behind this, some momentum can be started and it can, I mean, some progress is better than what we have right now, guys.
And it's possible that like that $100,000 donation that came through, it's possible that if enough of a splash is made and enough money is raised, that various repair companies that would be interested in this possibly going through could start getting behind it, which could be pretty huge.
Yep. All right. Let's see if there's anything else that we needed to cover here on the show today.
Oh, Xbox Game Pass.
Oh, I have a bounty. Can I do my bounty real quick? The Rio PMP 300. Here's the Wikipedia page. Okay. It looks a little something like that. This was one of the first portable MP3 players. It was introduced in September of 1998. And
is this a serial port?
Yeah, I think it's a printer port, actually. What I would love is if you own one of these, we'd love to either buy it off you or borrow it from you for the purposes of making a video, kind of looking back at this product and the controversy that surrounded it. With the RIAA suing to keep it off the market and stuff like that. It's just a really, really cool topic, and we'd love to have it as a piece of tech history to really kind of dig into as we go through it. Nick reminds me that there is an LTT store thing to bring up to you guys. If you head over to lttstore.com, it's a real good time to do that because we have Stealth hoodies back in stock, and get this. Not only can you pick yourself up a Stealth hoodie, but we are doing $20 off the Orange Text 21-ounce LTT water bottle to go with your Stealth hoodie. So go ahead, add the Stealth hoodie to cart, add the Orange Text 21-ounce water bottle to cart, and you will get a $20 discount on your order. That is going to be active until, I think, 24 hours after. There's a video coming soon that will announce that promo. I think on the weekend. And so it will be active until 24 hours after that video goes up. So you're going to want to grab that real quick styles fast here, ladies and gentlemen. All right. What topic did you want to hit, Luke?
I wanted to go through some of the title topics that we had. I've also had a lot of requests for us to talk about a Ubiquiti breach that I don't think is necessarily in the doc. But maybe we can touch on that. But first off, let's do the Xbox Game Pass is getting PlayStation exclusive bracket S. Maybe more, but so far one. MLB The Show 21, produced by Sony Interactive Entertainment, will launch on Xbox Game Pass. This is the first time that the franchise has been available on non-Sony platforms. Sony announced in December 2019 that the franchise would branch out to other consoles. But this is the first time it's actually been happening, which is a pretty big time gap.
That's hilarious.
This move does follow, as we talked about on WAN Show, Horizon Zero Dawn going to PC and announcing that Days Gone would also come to PC in the spring. So pretty
and
cool.
Even though an Xbox is just a PC at this point, it still feels kind of wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that was weird.
Yeah, it just feels a little wrong. I gotta wonder how much did Microsoft pay to be a launch platform for a Sony Interactive Entertainment game? I mean, okay, how trippy is that going to be? Okay, the first time people launch this game on their Xbox and a Sony splash screen comes up. Like, what?
Very odd. We've seen a decent amount of this kind of stuff. Like, you can buy EA Pass on Steam now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that's weird. I think you can maybe buy the Ubisoft one as well. I don't really know. I don't like those services, so I'm not doing any of those. But there's a lot of crosstalk in these realms now, which, I mean, kind of makes sense. It just feels odd. Yeah, I don't think we even need to dive way too much further into that. Just wanted to bring it up.
What else do you want to chat about today?
Breaking news, AMD's N3 CPUs vulnerable to Spectre-like attacks via the PSF, or Predictive Store Forwarding feature. Oh, AMD has advised customers to disable a feature on their newest Zen 3-based CPUs following evidence that the Spectre-like attack is possible. It provides speculative execution by guessing the relationship between loads and stores while waiting for address calculations to complete. Yada, yada, yada. It sucks. It apparently requires very specific gadgets to exist in the victim domain. There was a lot of this type of stuff was like massive, horrible vulnerabilities, but required a lot of access.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. It's probably in that realm again. This will probably never affect the average end user. But it is unfortunate.
In other news, man, I don't even want to talk about the 11th gen CPU launch. I'm sorry, JA, you put a lot of work into that topic, but I just can't make myself care right now. We can talk about how we completed our 10 million subscriber PC.
Okay.
10 million subscribers was a hot minute ago. For us, yep. We're up to 13.
I was thinking, like, all right.
On the main channel now. But it took a long time to build this computer, okay? Can I spoil it for you? Can I spoil it for the WAN show? Is that okay? Okay, so it's, yes. It's a PC build, all right? Imagine the 10 million Linus Tech Tips PC build. What would it be in your mind?
I don't even know.
It's a celebration of 10 million YouTube subscribers.
I genuinely have no clue.
It's not gold-plated. Everyone says it's solid gold or gold-plated. It's not.
I jumped onto gold-plated. I jumped onto $10,000 computer, but like I feel like you've done that.
Yeah,
like
we've done better than that.
Yeah.
Come on. You got this. I believe in you. No idea.
It can't be 10. Like it can't. I can't think of anything that would include 10 million.
Okay. All right. Okay. So you know the diamond play button?
Okay.
We built a PC in it.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
We turned the diamond did RGB. You use...
That's pretty sweet. Okay, that's pretty cool. Okay, that's sick.
So did the you whole use, thing... Like, yeah, go ahead. NUC,
did you like...
We used an Intel NUC.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, the back of it is CNC'd out, and like it is beautiful. It is absolutely immaculate, the job that was done of it, not by us. So it's gorgeous. So it had to be 3D scanned in order to even do that. Like this video is wild. It's going to be a wild ride, lots of really cool stuff. And we actually use, we have a fan, so it's actively cooled, you know, in case. But we're pretty sure that with the setup we have, with like it's got a heat pipe cooler that was built by Alex. We're pretty sure that with the heat pipe cooler that we've designed, the whole thing would probably soak enough heat to act as a heat sink and cool the bloody thing. It is so sick. It's got Thunderbolt 3, so it can actually be used with an external graphics card. It's got 6 cores that'll turbo up to like 4.5 gigahertz. So the thing could actually be used as a gaming rig.
That's pretty cool.
It's really small.
That's actually super, super cool.
And
like that a lot.
All 3 points of the play-shaped diamond at the front have RGB LEDs in them. So the way it glows is like freaking awesome. I am so happy that it turned out, because those play buttons are pretty hard to earn, and if it wasn't awesome anymore, then that would really suck.
How upset would you be if it cracked?
I don't want to spoil too much, but it ain't immaculate anymore.
Oh no! Okay. All right. Yikes. Okay. Next topic.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's not too bad.
Should we touch on this Ubiquity thing? I don't know anything about it.
I honestly don't know enough about it to really talk about it anyway. So basically, Ubiquity had some kind of data breach and was not forthcoming enough about it is sort of the gist of it that I've gathered so far. But I don't know enough about it to really talk about it. So that's really challenging.
Okay. There's a thread on the forum titled Whistleblower Ubiquity Breach Catastrophic. It looks pretty well put together with sources and individual thoughts sectioned out, all that kind of stuff. It was posted by Dark Force on the forum. Maybe check that out if you're interested.
For sure. But other than that, I think we should probably hit some super chats. I don't have any from about the first 10 minutes of the show because YouTube bugged out for whatever reason, but I have the rest of them. So I'll go down. There's quite a few that are saying not to shut down the OnlyFans. So I guess, man, I've gone from it's definitely dead to, oh man, we might have to keep this thing because I can't believe how much money it's making. Like we could literally, you know, hire, you know, more engineers for Creator Warehouse or more, you know, writers or editors or whatever. Like we could literally grow the company based on this kind of revenue to like, okay, I think it's going to get old. Maybe we need to, you know, put her down Old Yeller style before she starts, you know, crapping all over the carpets and stuff. And then now people are like, don't do it, don't do it. And it's like, okay, I don't know what you people want from me. So I don't know where I'm at on that. So I'm going to ignore the rest of the comments about that for now.
Yeah.
Keegan said, oh, keep the OnlyFans. Oh, no, yep. That's another way, good way to do weird stuff and monetize it directly. Okay, yep, yeah, it is that. Highlander, if you have a subscriber that paid for a month, they have to get a month. Otherwise, you could potentially be sued for violation of contract. Okay, all right, that's okay. It's all about this.
We did talk about it for a long time.
Okay.
In their defense.
It
was a Chungus topic.
Okay, this is actually a good question. Adrian Carrison says, do you think it was funny because you were doing it, like creating an OnlyFans account, or because you were doing it? It was funny because I was doing it. That was the joke, and that was what I clarified to someone on Twitter who I think was not... I don't know. It's one of those weird interactions where someone says, I wasn't offended, but here are all the problems. And it's like, okay, I don't really know how to respond to that because if you're not actually mad, then why are we talking about this? It's something I definitely have personal challenges with. Like if you're mad, let's talk about it. And if you're not mad, then let's not talk about it. So, the point was, it was funny because it's very out of character for me and because, you know, the whole nerdy 30-something guy on OnlyFans thing is a juxtaposition that I found amusing, particularly because it's me and I don't think that that's, you know, OnlyFans material based on what I've seen of the platform and the kind of quality content that you can find there. I just don't think I'm it. Let's see what else we've got. Oh man, pretty much every comment is
just scroll down like a bunch
about this.
We talked about it for like half the show. So
Roach Dog says, what about competition under the free market and all that capitalist propaganda? Yeah, I'm sorry, it's a lie. The One Good Medic says, did you guys cover Lewis Rossman's? Oh, yes. Thank you, One Good Medic. What else we got here? Andre says, WWE is evil. They won't give them health care and call them contractors when they get hurt. Yeah. WWE is an organization that I personally have not supported. And knowing everything that I know about them, I don't think I would start supporting them. Honestly, professional sports to me, and this is going to be, oh boy, here comes a hot take. Professional sports to me is kind of offensive in a lot of ways. A lot of people get really upset about the way that amateur athletes are treated in particular. So like college athletes, where these schools are making a ton of money having these people there, you know, competing in their athletic programs, not sharing it with the actual athletes themselves, basically compensating them with exposure. And, you know, it's one of those things that's like, hello, it should obviously be illegal. You know, people being young, or like in some cases even underage, does not make it better. That makes it worse, not better. Paul, please.
Like very high costs financially and whatnot.
Yeah. So that's an obvious one. And to be clear, some people in the chat are like, sports are dumb. I don't think sports are dumb. I think that achieving the very best that you can, and teamwork and competition, are all healthy things and a part of human nature that, quite frankly, you ain't getting rid of. I think sports is healthy. I just think that a lot of aspects of professional sports are extremely unhealthy. And one of the things that bothers me about professional sports is that the people, in ways that wouldn't even be legal in other industries, get treated like cattle. And I know a lot of people are looking at it going like, I don't feel bad for them. They make millions of dollars a year. But you got to understand, for every, you know, outstanding athlete who's making millions of dollars a year on like this bulletproof contract with a no trade clause and injury reserve sort of guaranteed minimum payment or whatever it is that they've managed to negotiate, for every one of those you see, there are dozens, hundreds, thousands, even tens of thousands of struggling athletes that are basically just treated like a product, because that's what they are. And it was the last NHL lockout that really made me sit and kind of reflect on this whole, this is millionaires going to war with billionaires. And quite frankly, I kind of feel like a walking wallet, and I'm just not going to support this anymore. So it's not that I don't love sports. If I'm at Boston Pizza or whatever and hockey's on, honestly, I can't look away. I love it. But I just can't do it anymore. Cause it's kind of gross. Like, they basically get treated like horses. There's no, you know, what was the name of the guy that, Todd Bertuzzi bashed into the ice? It's escaping me right now. Moore, I want to say. I'm really sorry. I can't remember. But basically,
Steve Moore.
Yeah, Steve Moore. You know, career destroyed and like life damaged. And it's just like, well, you know, them's the breaks. What happens, happens. And it's like, you know, the executives sitting up in the box, they don't take these risks. And they're making way more money than the cattle that are running around on the ice. So, yeah, I don't know. It just makes me uncomfortable. Phil Taylor, I just want to say massive thanks for helping me fill my time over the last 2 weeks. I have a 16-day-old baby and must have watched about 7,000 videos so far. LTT content, my savior. Hey, no problem, Phil. Kinestic says, I got to say, 1 hour before we get to the first piece of tech news is impressive. Any news on shirt colors other than black? Okay. The Creator Warehouse team, I swear to you, they're working on it. We have really good candidates for new shirts. It's just really hard to find shirts that, A, meet our quality standards, B, meet our volume standards. We need to be able to get good supply of them. C, meet our price standards. And D, meet our standards for the factories that they are coming from. It is not easy. I'm sorry. Nate Smith, sent 50. Okay, thanks, Nate. Companies that deny right to repair are evil, says Captain Viridian. Tesla, Apple, John Deere, just to name some of the worst offenders. They care more about tiny gains on their quarterly reports than reputation or customers. I don't understand how their reputations survive this kind of stuff, because every person who buys a pair of AirPods is is likely going to have it die, because it's designed to die. And shouldn't they be mad? Like, I don't understand it. And then you'll hear people be like, yeah, man, AppleCare. It's like, no. AppleCare is not named correctly. It's called AppleCare. But what it is Apple take your money.
Apple required to purchase.
Yeah, they don't do it because they care. They do it because it's an insurance plan, and they did the math. Like, I find it. That's another thing I find very offensive. Oof. Alex Buckingham says he's trying to fight this in the face of so much money fighting him. I can imagine that can get you down. Keep fighting, Lewis, at Lewis Rossman. Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, while we've been sitting here as well, going through the super chats, there's been a decent amount of messages coming through of people saying that they donated to that.
Good stuff.
That is very cool.
Thanks again, Nate. Lauren? I'm a sex worker from New Zealand. I got a chuckle out of the OnlyFans video. It is a sore spot in our community, though. So many people seeing us as a punchline. As a longtime viewer, I trust you not to... But that trust was, I trust you not to, but that trust was earned. Thank you, Lauren. I really did see myself as the punchline. So
yeah, it was that, like, this tech company suddenly went down that route. It wasn't, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, okay, again, wow, we're going to have a lot of hot takes on the WAN show today. I have nothing against sex work or pornography. I am very against exploitation in those industries, which is absolutely rampant, unfortunately. But done ethically, I got no problem with it. I'm not trying to contribute to any sort of stigma about it.
It's not like when Razer did their Razer Chroma hair thing. They weren't making fun of hair products. It's just that it was uncharacteristic of Razer to make a hair product, which is what a lot of humor is based on, is surprise.
Right. Yep. Juxtaposition of expectation versus reality.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it for the WAN show today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week. Same bad time. Same bad channel.
Bye. I was trying to get my point across without saying subverting expectations. I saw a bunch of people in Twitch chat say subverting expectations. I hate that. Ever since so many, like, movies and just, like, things that I love were ruined because someone new came in that didn't even like it, like Halo or Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to make it better by subverting expectations. Just, God.
Star Wars is supposed to be funny. Well, sometimes it's funny, but mostly not supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
No ETA, Nathaniel. Sorry. Okay. I'm cutting it.